Father, I thank you that you have connected with us on a heart level and that you love us and you are interested in our hearts. We thank you that you have chosen the heart to be the place where you want to take up residence in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us how to love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. We appreciate, Lord, the way that you want to reach us, not just with our behavior, but on a deeper level. And Lord, teach us how we can also communicate and connect with our children on a heart level as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're going to do the heart work in the life of your child, then you have to connect with that heart. You have to build windows into your child's heart so that they can receive some of the information you want to share with them on a heart level.
Parents often get frustrated because they see the problems in the child's heart and they know the solution to those problems, but children are resistant. They don't seem willing to listen to the wisdom of the parent.
In this session, we want to share with you the keys that will open up the doors and windows of your child's heart. If you want your child to have the soft heart, this is where you start. It's going to take work to do what we're going to suggest here, but it's valuable and it pays tremendous dividends in the process. Let me tell you a story about Gary. He's 14 years old, and his parents brought him to me in the office for counseling because, well, life was out of control for them. They felt like Gary was angry. He often did what they asked but had a bad attitude. He wasn't communicating and pulled back from much of family life. He just wasn't part of family. He wasn't even interacting with them. He was skipping out on meals. He just wasn't there. And they were concerned. They wanted something more. They felt like, we're losing our son. So they came and they brought Gary with them, and I spent some time talking to Gary and talking to his parents and getting to know them a little bit better. At one point I said to Gary, look, Gary, let me ask you a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a very soft heart toward your parents and a 10 being a very hard heart or closed heart to your parents, where would you put yourself on the scale between 1 and 10? And he says, oh, that's easy. I'd be a 10. I said, you'd be a 10? That's way over here on the closed side? Yeah, I'm not even interested in building relationship with my parents. And as I got to know Gary some more and started working with the mom and dad, I realized that there were some significant things happening in family life. Mom and dad had emphasized behavior quite a bit. And when Gary wasn't performing, whether it was at school or at home, then they took privileges away. Can't ride your dirt bike. Can't have a Walkman. Can't be on the internet. And they continually took privileges away from him, which is often something we do. But that was all they were focused on, was the behavior. And really, life became this process where most of the dialogue in family life had to do with, get these things done or you're going to lose your privilege. And so life became focused more on behavior and the things that had to be done. They were losing their son. They were not connecting on a heart level. And so it was in that few sessions that I said, let's try something different. And I asked them, let's try to take the focus off discipline for a little bit and let's put the focus on relationship. Let me teach you what it is to connect with your son's heart, that your heart would be connected with your son's heart. And we started with things like, let's just greet him in the morning, greet him at night. Let's just start with something very simple of acknowledging him in the course of things. Let's look for some other ways to dialogue with him or be silly. And so dad was kind of pushing around in the family room one day and they started wrestling on the couch. They were doing some things to connect on a deeper level. It was fun to watch over the next few weeks because they would come back and it's how'd it go? Well, he seems to be doing better. And I would ask Gary, Gary, how are you doing? Oh, nothing's changed. I say, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you? I'm still at a 10. Although parents were seeing things change, Gary wasn't willing to admit any of those things. But it was after a few weeks that I said to him, Gary, how are things going? Well, I think probably I'm at an 8 or a 9. I said, oh, really? He says, yeah, why is that? I said. He said, well, my parents are really trying. So he was in. We were starting to make some inroads into his heart using some of the very strategies we're going to share with you here. The key here for them in the very difficult parts of parenting wasn't to develop bigger consequences. It wasn't even necessarily teaching him some new things. It was learning how to connect with him in some very important ways.
Now, most parents have a deep love for their children. Now, the day-to-day challenges of life sometimes challenge that momentarily. But we love our kids deeply. And somehow we assume that our children know our love and feel our love on a day-to-day basis. But children need to actually experience our love on a regular basis. And sometimes that's lacking in family life because we get so busy. We have these great intentions, but we assume that because we're the parents and they're the kids, well, of course our kids know they're loved, and of course we'll always be there for them. But there isn't that tangible acting out and feeling loved day in and day out that our kids need so much. Now, in all fairness, parents often start out doing really well. When their kids are little, they got the babies and the toddlers and the preschoolers, and we look for ways to have fun together and enjoy our kids, and we have opportunities to connect emotionally with our kids, to be relational with them, and we enjoy that relationship. It's a lot of fun. But then the work of family life gets us off track sometimes because we're giving so many instructions, and then we've got to correct our kids, and we find our children are resistant, and we've got to do more pushing and pulling than we expected. And before you know it, we spend so much time instructing and correcting that we've forgotten about the relationship side that we were trying to foster. And so we want to spend some time talking about that tonight and how we can open up and soften the hearts of our kids.
Children need firmness. We believe that's true, because when children have the firmness of their parents, they learn character. And so it's important for us as parents to be looking for ways to motivate our children to be doing the right thing. We have to put pressure on them. That's our job. We have to say no to some of their requests that are foolish. We have to instruct them and stay on them in order to get a task done. We have to correct them when they're doing the wrong thing. All of that pressure is good that we place on our children, because it's in the midst of that that character is developed and our children learn new ways of relating and they learn what's important in relationships. It's valuable. But sometimes we get so focused on those things that the relational dynamic, the friendship part of family life, gets pushed to the side. It easily can get moved to the side, and so all we end up doing is correcting and instructing and saying no to our kids. We lose the relationship part, and family life even becomes very sterile or military-like sometimes. We have to be able to keep that relationship at the forefront of our minds as we're working with our children. And here's why. The pressure that we put on our children is good, but our children can only deal with as much pressure as the relationship can withstand. Otherwise, we end up with children who are very angry and resentful and even rebellious. So we have to balance the relationship that we're doing with our children along with the firmness that we're trying to place on them.
This can be a real challenge in family life, though. One mom said this. She said, I used to have a real close relationship with my son. We had a lot of fun together, and we enjoyed closeness on a regular basis. But now that he's gotten a little older, he spends so much time at school and with friends and with sports, he's not home as much. When he is home, I feel like I have to be on him about his homework and about keeping his room clean. And it seems like our relationship has just boiled down to instruction and correction. That's all we have time for. And frankly, that's often the reality in many homes. We have so much work to get done that our relationships don't have time for the just enjoying one another. But our kids need that so much. It's like the picture of a bucket with holes in it. Family life is a bucket with holes in it, because just the work of family life drains the bucket. It's not like the holes are because there's anything wrong, but it's just because we have so much work to do and we have to deal with each other's personalities, and that's just draining. We need to be constantly filling up that bucket to keep water in there.
Now, we describe this connecting with the heart as emotional connectedness. The ability to connect on an emotional level, to feel the connection that we have between the hearts, that is my heart and my son's heart, or my heart and my daughter's heart. What we're trying to do is connect on an emotional level. Just think about what Jesus did. As Jesus related to people, remember Mary and Martha? Martha says, we got work to do around here. Come on, Jesus, get Mary in here. We got to serve this food and get things going. And what does Jesus say? No, relationship's important too. You see, Jesus is valuing relationship in that story. There's another time when Judas was criticizing Mary for breaking the perfume out and washing Jesus' feet with her hair, and Jesus defended her. It's relationship that's important. You remember the time that Jesus got up at the upper room and he washed the disciples' feet. Now, if you imagine the times that Jesus related to people, you'll see that he had this tremendous ability to connect with a person emotionally. And when he connected with them, then he earned the right so to speak, to speak truth into their hearts. Jesus was a master at changing people's hearts. He did that many times by starting with this emotional connectedness that he did with people. The woman caught in adultery, the woman at the well, Peter. Jesus did a lot of work in the hearts of people. He started with emotional connectedness. We believe that's so important in the parent-child dynamic.
We find that the Apostle Paul also talked to the early Christians about the same concept. He talked about mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. Well, certainly that's true that we need to be emotionally connected with others in God's family. But that's also true in our earthly families as well. We need to take time to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. In our own families, with our children, we need to take time to do that with them.
Now, I know as you're listening to us, you're saying, yeah, you know, this is true. I know, this is one of those things I should be doing. But why don't we do it as parents? Why don't we spend more time fostering relationship? I think there are a number of reasons or roadblocks that get in the way. Sometimes we're just too busy or we're too tired. You know, we're busy after a whole bunch of time during the day, and we don't want to take time now. We'd rather sit down and read a book or get those last jobs done before we go to bed. So we're tired, and we don't feel like doing that. Or maybe our child's rather obnoxious and rejects us regularly. And so there's that fear of rejection. I know if I start initiating with him, he's going to reject me again. And so that fear of rejection prevents us from even initiating with our children on this emotional level.
Sometimes it's just a lack of creativity. We don't really know how to do it or what to do. And so it's easier to do the things that come naturally to us or come easily. Sometimes it's anger and struggles in relationships that keep us from doing this. We're really not interested in getting close to our kids or connecting with them emotionally because there's struggles in the relationship we have.
Frankly, some children have been abusive to their parents by continually being sarcastic and mean. And so parents say, forget it. I don't want to do this. If you've come to the place with your children that you don't even want to connect emotionally, I want you to stop for a minute, and I want you to think about your own heart. Maybe there's some heart work that God wants to do in your life. And it starts in your relationship with the Lord. It starts with you experiencing a connectedness with God Himself. And as He does that and frees you up in your own emotions, then you're able to give to your children even when you don't feel like doing it. You know, the heart is made up of a lot of different things. Inside the heart, we come to conclusions about life. And then we have these operating principles that govern how we're making the decisions. We live off of our heart. That's how we make decisions about life. How do we come to those conclusions? One of the things we rely on to make conclusions is emotions. How do we feel about something? But there's something better. Another part of the heart has to do with convictions. That I'm going to do it even if I don't feel like it. I would encourage you to evaluate your heart. If you're making decisions only based on feelings, then you're missing something else that's so valuable in your own heart. We do things many times in life, I know you do, and I do, that we don't feel like doing. We do those things because we know that they're right. We go to the gym and exercise, or we go to work even though we don't feel like it. We do those things because we know that they're the right things. We have a greater goal out there that we're trying to accomplish, even though we don't feel like it. The interesting thing about feelings is that they follow when we start doing the right thing. I'd encourage you to connect with your child on an emotional level. Connect with your child's heart. The reason you're doing that is because it's the right thing to do and because you're moving and opening up windows and doors in your child's heart so you'll be able to speak into them with some very important truth. You do it even though you don't feel like it. It's an important part of the job.
So let's talk about how we're going to do that. One of the things that we want to do is just be proactive in the life of our child. Imagine, how does my child like to be loved anyway? What is my child like? Because all our kids are different. It's not like there's one way to connect emotionally with them. Some kids just like your time. They want to do things with you. So you take them along to the store, or you plan a special trip to the store just for them so you can spend time together. You go out to the movies together. You do special outings. Another child likes treats, so you make him his favorite cookies or you buy him his favorite ice cream. There's different things that we can do for different children, and we need to be thinking about that. How does this child like to be loved anyway? What communicates to my other child? How can I minister to that child's heart?
Some children like to be touched. You just put your hand on their shoulder and they kind of melt. Or you give them a hug. Those are important things because we're asking the question, how does my child experience love from us? This often focuses on parents because they have to get out of their own comfort zone because you might like to be loved in a particular way, but your child likes to be loved in a different way. And so you need to move out of your comfort zone in order to communicate love to your child in the way that your child needs that love to be experienced. That's an important part of what we're doing. We're trying to help our children's heart open up. We help that child's heart open up by touching them with love in ways that they like to be loved.
Now, one of the reasons we're doing this is just so that our kids feel good and they're happy and life goes well, but we're also opening up their hearts and softening their hearts so that we have the opportunity to do some teaching. Children are more responsive to parents when their hearts have been touched, when they have their hearts have been softened by the way we're interacting with them. When relationship is good in family life, then life runs more smoothly. Children are more responsive to instructions and correction, and they're more responsive even to the wisdom of parents. You know, as parents, we have a lot of wise things to say to our children. But when their hearts are hard, it doesn't do a lot of good. We can be doing a lot of talking, and kids are not receiving it. But if their hearts are soft, if we have that opportunity, we want to speak into their hearts. And then God can use that to blossom into wonderful things. But, you know, once the heart opens up, we need to be very careful. Because an open heart is a very sensitive and fragile place. And sometimes parents come in there with swords and, you know, they start doing some intense work when really what's needed is tweezers. And so we want to be careful because a soft heart is a fragile heart.
That's an important warning. Because here's what happens. You do this work to open your child's heart and you see him kind of beam and he's receptive all of a sudden. And so you say, ah, now's my opportunity. I've been wanting to share something. Finally, he's open. And so you share it with him. And what do you see? You see that heart close up really quick. If the only reason we're trying to warm our child's heart or soften their heart is so we can lecture to them, we're going to have a problem. I remember our families, the Millers and the Taranskis, went to Hawaii to speak in several churches and for a vacation. While we were there, we went to the tide pools and we saw the sea anemone. It's an animal that affixes itself to the tide pools, to the rocks, and then it has tentacles that kind of float in the water. And if you go up to that sea anemone and you poke it, it closes up really quick. And if you'll have to wait 15, 20 minutes before it starts to open up. Slowly it opens up and starts to flow again. The hearts of our children are very similar to that. They close up very quickly. They close faster than they open. So once you have an open heart, you want to be careful that you can keep that heart open as you're trying to pass information in. Otherwise, we can shut them down faster than we can open them up. We want to be careful of that as we're working with our children in this particular area of the heart work we're doing with them.
One mom tells the story of her son Jason. He's 5 years old. And she was receiving a lot of resistance from him in family life, with instructions, correction. Life just, he was not doing well in the family. He was creating resistance, creating problems. It was a struggle in the relationship between this young boy and mom. Until at one point in his life, mom realized that he was sick. And when he was sick, he liked to be touched and cuddled. And he was more receptive to that. And so mom spent time cuddling him and holding him while he was sick. And he just had the flu. It wasn't anything major. But for a few days, she spent more time cuddling with him and holding him and rocking him. And she realized that he was more responsive to her during those times. In fact, even after he got well again, family life was going smoothly for the next few days. For the next week, he was doing better with his relationship with mom. But then after a week, they started to creep back into some old patterns in their relationship. So mom had an idea. She said, well, you know, it seems to me, as she thought to herself, that he was doing so well when he was sick and we were spending all that time together on relationship. I wonder what would happen if I do that now. And so she invited her son to just sit with her in the rocker. She rocked him for 20 minutes. And they enjoyed that. He allowed that. He was responsive to that. And she found that even later on that day, he was more responsive in their relationship together. He didn't have the resistance that was so typical. Not only that, mom realized that her attitude toward her son was a little different that day also, because that 20 minutes of closeness, of physical contact, had softened their relationship enough that they were doing better just in the busyness of life as the day went on.
Take a moment and evaluate your own heart and your ability to connect with your child's heart. How do you do with that? You know, I find that some parents do better connecting emotionally with their kids than others. In fact, that's true even in my own family. My wife and I, sometimes one of us is stronger than the other at this. And sometimes I have an ability to connect with my kids' hearts, and it works great. And there are other times when maybe I'm being too firm or too strict or whatever, and my wife has this ability to put tact together with relationship and boldness, and she can say something stronger than I ever could say it, but she's able to communicate and get into the child's heart. Why? In part because of her ability to connect on this level. And so I think it's something we're always growing in and learning, reminding ourselves. And our children are changing regularly. Just because you think you got it down at 4 years old doesn't mean you'll have it down at seven. Because we're continually growing with our kids. As they develop and learn, we're moving with them. So that they too, as they're growing, can experience our love at different stages. It's a growth process. I like to learn from my wife. And I say, well, how did she do that? If I tried that, I'd fall flat on my face. So I think that as parents, we can work together in this way. And sometimes we even learn from others. You get a youth leader who works with the kids at church, and there's a connection that takes place. You can see it happening. You go, wow, I really appreciate that. I wish I could do that. I like what's happening. And we look for ways that we can enhance our own skills at connecting emotionally with our children.
And recognizing that each one of our children is different. And so what works with one child doesn't necessarily work with another child. And, of course, that's what makes one of the things that makes parenting so difficult, because we have to be creative and interact with each of our kids differently. And then, of course, when they get to a new stage of life, then we have to rearrange everything again because they've matured a little bit and we have to adjust. So it's almost like trying to catch up with a moving target. But I think God makes the family that way because it keeps us on our toes and it keeps us in prayer for our kids, that we're asking God that he would open up our children's hearts and that he would give us opportunities to speak into their hearts, give us opportunities to touch their hearts. And we need to be ready for those opportunities when they come then.
We want to share with you five practical ideas that you can use to work with your children. Five practical ways that you can connect with their hearts. In fact, we have taken the first letter of each of these five things and they form the word heart, H-E-A-R-T, to help you remember them. These are common things that you can do just to remind yourself, here's what I can do to connect with my son. Here's what I can do to connect with my daughter. When you feel like things aren't going so well here, go back through the list and see what can I do to develop this emotional connectedness.
In fact, some families are probably better at some of these than others. So you want to think through these and evaluate your family. Which ones are we good at? Which ones should we be working at? Because all of them are ways to connect with our kids. The first one, the H way to connect, is to have fun. We need to remember to have fun with our kids. We want to enjoy relationship together. We want to just spend time with them that's purely for fun, not with an agenda. We want to play games with them. We want to take them on special outings. Just wrestling, being silly, just having fun, letting down, and enjoying life together. My husband is great at that with my sons. You know, when they're wrestling around the house or they're, you know, kind of pushing each other and they're just enjoying relationship in a very physical way. They're having fun. My teenage sons are having fun with their dad, and he's having fun with them. No agenda on the board at all, except for just connecting. And then there's some physical contact going on there, but it's all done in fun, and it builds their relationship. It makes it strong.
I remember when my kids were young, I'd like get on all fours on the floor and growl like a bear. You know, those are the kinds of things we're talking about. You're already doing them probably with your children. Sometimes it's easier to do with younger children than older children. But as our kids get older, we still want to be silly with them. We want to play with them. We want to look for ways to have fun with them, because that's part of connecting on a heart level. It just builds that foundation of relationship that our children need. The second one, the E, is to eat together. Oh, man, we get busy, don't we, in family life? And kids are going this way and that way, and we're running to sports activities, and we've got all kinds of music lessons and other things going on, and so children are going back and forth and we're tired and work schedules are complicating everything, and so often we don't get to eat together. Or when we parents do eat together with their kids, then the TV's on. I'd encourage you to turn off the TV and make mealtime a valuable time where you can engage and share with each other and talk and reason and make it a fun time in family life.
What we want to do is just enjoy the relationships over a meal. Meal eating together is a social activity in our culture. As adults, we get together to eat. If we're going to have a social time, well, there's always food there. We want to also turn the meal times in our families into social times. sometimes families get so sidetracked with manners and diet, and you know, we focus so much on what kids should be eating or not eating and how they're acting at the table, that we lose sight of the fun we can have over the meal. And so we want to just take some time to enjoy eating together.
We even say that more meals are ruined at the table than at the stove, because parents come with all the rules and regs and all that kind of stuff to the table, and oh, there goes dinner. We can hardly wait to get out of here, because it's more like a military event than it is a social event. Ever since my children were young, I would try to plan things to bring to the table, whether it was a riddle or a joke or a fun story that I could share or something that I found on the internet that I thought was interesting for my kids. And then I'd ask them, bring something to dinner tonight, will you? Or, hey, don't tell me that story. I could hardly wait to hear it. Bring it to dinner. So that dinner becomes this social event in the lives of our families that allow us to do some connecting. We're together regularly. Even when our children get older and the schedules of work and school and so on pressure that, we want to try to guard some meal times as times when we can build that social dynamic. Because it's in the midst of those meal times that the interaction together develops that emotional connectedness that's needed to foster this heart response in our kids.
The next item, the A in the heart, the A is to arrange activities. Let's just plan some stuff to do as a family. We sometimes plan with other people, but we don't plan the activities for our family. But we just want to think about, what does the family enjoy doing together? Let's arrange some activities, whether it be everybody going to a ball game together, going to the movies, or even working together to plan an event, planning a party, doing something. But let's arrange some activities where the whole family is together, we're doing it as a team, and we're enjoying that relationship in the midst of the activity.
It may be just a family night that you have on a regular basis. Or maybe it's an irregular basis, but you're still trying to get together for an activity. Let's plan to have an ice cream party. Or let's do fondue for dinner. Something that brings kids together with parents in some kind of an activity where we're engaging. It may be playing a game, and games are a great way to connect on an emotional level because children learn how to win and how to lose and to play fair. And there's fun involved in the whole process as we level the playing field and we all become participants in a game. But it could be many other things that we do with our children, even just sitting and watching a movie, doing it together. It's best if we have interactive kinds of things, but what we're trying to do is connect on an emotional level by arranging some activities that we're doing. Sometimes it's serving. Let's all go over to the church. They're having that cleanup day. Let's spend some time helping them clean up. That's an activity we're doing together. It's a bonding experience so that we can start that connection process on a heart level.
The next one is R. We want to remember fun times. We want to be reminiscing as a family, bringing our history as a family into our present time. Because, you know, kids love that. They like to tell stories about, last Christmas or Christmas when I was five. They also like to hear stories about when they were little. Oh, my kids, they love to tell them funny things they did when they were babies. That's so fun for them to hear the stories of when they were little and the silly things they did or the funny way they talk. We watch old home movies and they laugh at themselves and each other. It's a fun thing to remember where we've come from.
Oh, my kids love to remember the times we spent in Africa. We were missionaries there for a while and the crazy things that happened, going out in the desert and running and chasing giraffes we remember the dog that we had there and how dark it was at night. So we have a lot of fun remembering the good times. We can sit and remember old cars that we had or animals that we've had around. I love to tell my kids the exciting story of when they were born, or we've adopted two children in our family. We tell the exciting story of the adoption. All of those are remembering good times. And when we remember those, they foster this sense of, wow, this is fun. You know how it is. When you reminisce about something, it might be looking at a photo album. And as you look at that photo, remember that? Isn't that fun? Allow children to do the same thing. What's a fun thing that you remember about your childhood? And when we ask those questions to children, things come out. It's a way to connect on an emotional level, a fun way to do it. Remember the good times. That's one of the steps of connecting on a heart level.
And it's fun to listen to kids tell stories. Sometimes they remember the facts differently than we remember them as parents.
Sure.
We don't want to correct them. We want to enjoy their version of the story because there's something special to it. And so we want to cut out time in life just to remember the good times, to celebrate that together, who we are as a family.
All right, and let's take the T in heart. T is to talk. Talk and listen. That's what we want to do, because it's in the talking and the listening that we get to hear what's going on in our children's hearts. We get to hear what's important to them, the values that they have, the interesting experiences that are going on. Well, I've missed it sometimes when I come to the table and I dominate and my son or my daughter have something important to say and I don't call on them or don't ask them to share. I miss out. There are times when I just need to say, hey, who else has a story? And I'm ready to leave the table and I'm ready to clean up the dishes. And who else has a story? And another child has a story and I go, wow, I am so glad we stayed there and listened, because it was an opportunity for that child to share an experience and for us to listen. We're connecting on this heart level, a very important part of the process.
Sometimes our children's stories are hard to listen to, aren't they? It takes a lot of patience on our part as a parent to actually listen to the story, listen to them get it out. But, you know, that's a special time. We want to spend time just relaxed enough to listen to them, get that story out, and enjoy it with them. But talking and listening together as a family is a way to we soften the hearts of our children. It's a way that we can connect with our kids emotionally. We can help them feel our love, not just know it in their heads. And that's so important to take that time.
That's what we're trying to do. Enjoy our kids. And as we do that, we're trying to connect on a heart level. Well, H-E-A-R-T can help you to remember some of the ways to connect. Let's share one more idea here that I think is very important as we're trying to connect with our children. We call it the gratefulness principle. The gratefulness principle is this. Every one of us has a button, a gratefulness button. And when someone does something kind to us or does something out of the ordinary or exceptional, we feel grateful, and that gratefulness that we experience is an emotional connection that we make. The gratefulness principle is an important thing we want to take advantage of in family life, because we're connecting on that emotional level. When we give to our children or we do kind things to them, we foster this sense of gratefulness in their hearts, and it's a way of connecting with them.
So when you bake your son's favorite cookies and he looks at you with delight because he's excited, you've done it. You've touched his gratefulness button and it softens his heart just a little bit more. Or you do the laundry for your daughter. She's got this outfit she wants to wear to the party. And you do the laundry so it's ready for her party. And she's delighted that it's done. You've done it. You've touched her gratefulness button. Or your son cleans up the kitchen without being asked. You're delighted. Right? He's touched your gratefulness button. We all have one of those buttons, and it's a way to connect with one another. When we do something and the other person responds with gratefulness, it opens up relationship. It softens the heart. And so we want to be thoughtful about the gratefulness buttons our children have.
So we give to our children. We try to help them to feel good. All of that's the gratefulness button, but don't confuse it with the overindulgence trap. Because sometimes what we do is we give to our kids and they don't appreciate it. They're not grateful. In fact, they expect those things to come. And thus we have a problem in the emotional connectedness area. Because don't we as parents want to give to our children? Because we all instinctively know about this gratefulness button, and so we're giving to our kids. And we're hoping that they're going to appreciate this, but they don't. They become demanding and selfish. Overindulgence can be a problem. Overindulgence is often the point at which we're giving more to our children than their character can allow. It's not just the amount of things that we give, but overindulgence is giving them more than their character is ready to handle. Keep that in mind, because if your children are being demanding and selfish, then, well, we've entered into a problem in their lives. We want to teach them how to be responsive. How do we do that? Because if we're trying to be grateful, increase gratefulness, and we start giving to them, which is a good thing we do, and they become more demanding, then we're working against ourselves, aren't we? It can be a problem in family life.
And children who have been overindulged, who are become demanding, just become more so. The more you give them, the more demanding they are. The more selfish and unhappy they become, rather than grateful. And that's a problem that we have as parents, because we want to give good things to our kids. But if we find that it just makes them more demanding and unhappy, it puts us in kind of a bind. And so we want to be evaluating our children. What are the things that we're giving them? And what are the things that are really touching them with gratefulness? And on the other side, what's just fostering the demandingness? And those are the things we want to withhold. In fact, we find that these different areas of gifts that we give our children, rarely do we overindulge our children in all the different areas. We usually have a favorite area that we overindulge children in. and other areas we are a little bit lax in. So one child, he may be getting a lot of things in his life, and the parents are buying him stuff all the time, and so he's overindulged in the material stuff, but he may be lacking in the relationship time together kind of stuff. Whereas another child gets a lot of mommy time. Whenever she wants something, mommy's there to give it to her. And that's great. They have a strong relationship because they have a lot of time together. But now this little girl has become demanding about time. And she expects mom to drop everything as soon as she has a need, because she's been overindulged in time. And that needs to be balanced out with some other things. So we need to be looking for balance in the relationships we have with our kids.
What we're trying to do is help. We have to be monitoring this. And because when we see it, we have to be able to address it. Let's go back and look at Chrissy and see how she and her dad are dealing with this whole issue of gratefulness.
Dad,
Chrissy,
you're home.
Help me with the groceries, will you?
Sure, Dad.
Thank you.
Did you get that chocolate chip Oreo cookies and cream ice cream and the Diet Coke that I wanted?
Well, no, I didn't get the chocolate chip Oreo cookie and cream ice cream you requested because they were out of it at the store, so I got vanilla.
No, not vanilla, Dad. Oh, come on, tell me it's April 1st.
No, April 1st was yesterday. Today, it's vanilla ice cream day.
Oh, Dad, I hate vanilla ice cream. This is terrible. Somebody pinch me and wake me up from this nightmare.
Oh, Chrissy, come on. There are worse nightmares in life than vanilla ice cream.
Like your meatloaf the other night.
No. Oh, yeah, that was a mistake. But look, what I'm thinking of is that there are lots of children in the world who don't get anything to eat.
Oh, Dad. We could be part of the solution and send them the vanilla ice cream. And you know what? We could throw in the lima beans, too.
Oh, that's very philanthropic of you. Now, look, just imagine, Chrissy, all the good things we have in our family. We have so many blessings in our family, don't we?
Dad, don't go there. Don't start talking about when I was your age.
What?
Oh, come on. You know the old, when I was your age, we didn't have cell phones. We used the Pony Express.
Oh, very funny.
When I was your age, we didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have heat, for that matter. And fire had just been invented. We were too poor to afford it.
Oh, Chrissy, I'm serious. What I'm trying to do is change your perspective. I don't want you to just think about the things you don't. In fact, here's the thing. Gratefulness is acknowledging the things you do have, instead of complaining about the things you don't have. That's important.
Dad, I appreciate stuff.
Like what?
I appreciate that we have a car, and I'd really appreciate a ride to the mall.
Well, I guess that's a start. But before I take you to the mall, I want you to work on this. In fact, I've got an idea. Look, why don't we do this? I've got a pencil and paper here. I want to do a little activity. In fact, I'll do it too. I want you to take this piece of paper and pencil, bring your chair up over there, and I want you to think of five things that you're grateful for, okay?
Oh, Dad, come on. That's going to take a while.
It's not going to take a while. It doesn't have to. Just think of things that make life worthwhile. I'll start making my list here.
All right, well, there's Donnie in algebra, and Eddie in biology, and, well, there's Rich in English, and Tommy in history, and Ben in Spanish. That's five.
Now I can't think of anything that I could write. Gratefulness. Children need it. It's an important thing. And when children are not grateful, and they're demanding and selfish, then we need to view ourselves to haven't moved too far on the side of overindulgence with our children. I know we don't give them as much as the neighbor's kids give them, but our children can't handle what we've given them already. So many times what we have to do is pull back in whatever that area that is for our children and not give them as many things in that area so that we can foster this sense of gratefulness. Many of you are grateful, and you know that you've developed gratefulness in part because you haven't had that particular thing for some time. Many of our children haven't had times when they've been without. They've had it so much and so much and so much that, well, they expect it. And they're not even grateful for the things they have. There are some times when we're going to have to pull back in order to help them develop this sense of gratefulness in their lives.
In fact, we find that this whole idea of gratefulness, as we think about it, the people who have the least tend to be the most grateful. And so if we want to foster gratefulness in our children, sometimes it means that we have to withhold some things from them for a while. We have to require more of them. Sometimes it means they have to work harder, for instance. They need to do more. They need to earn some of the things that they have in life so they appreciate them more. If we continue to just give things to our kids expecting that someday they'll be grateful for them, we may be just fostering demandingness. But when people have to do without things, they tend to be grateful when they get them. And so it's just something to think about in family life. If children tend to be demanding, maybe too much is coming too easily. What we want to do is foster gratefulness. And so sometimes kids have to do without to get them there.
Now, the reason we put this gratefulness principle here in this part of our presentation has to do with this emotional connectedness. We want to connect with our children on an emotional level. But if we find that giving gifts to them has worked in the past, but now we're developing demandingness, maybe we need to move to some other relational gifts. Maybe we need to do more physical touch or greeting our children or listening to them that are more relational in aspect instead of the things that we've given them in the past. The gratefulness principle and the overindulgence trap help us to know how we might connect emotionally with our children to foster this sense of heart connectedness. If we find that our children are being demanding and selfish and pulling away, thinking the things that they have are rights and not privileges, well, we may want to tighten down a little bit so that we can even foster this sense of heart response together more in our relationship together.
Emotional connectedness is not easy. It's a challenge for us as parents to figure out how to do it and when to do it. Often it stretches us out of our comfort zone a little bit. But love is hard work. We know that. And it's necessary to take the time to at least be thinking through these things, monitoring the relationship level in our families. How are we doing in the relationship department? How are the kids doing? Sometimes we can tell by how much resistance is in the home, how hard their hearts seem to be. Maybe we need to be focusing more on emotional connectedness if we're finding a lot of hardness in our kids.
Think for a moment about the gratefulness principle in your own heart. Are you a grateful person for the things that you have? Or have you become demanding even when it comes to your children? Sometimes we don't express to our children the things that we're grateful for about them. The whole principle is one that we need to learn as parents in our own families as well, because the family is made up of parents and children, and we're all growing and learning. And God wants us to develop in our own hearts this sense of gratefulness. It's important. It's something we all need to have. You see, saying thank you and training children to say thank you is behavior. Gratefulness is something that comes from the heart. As we work with our children, we need to also be grateful people. Grateful for the things that we're seeing in them that we appreciate. And sharing that with them regularly. Because sometimes we become very demanding, don't we, with our kids? And that can hinder the sense of closeness and heart response with them. Let's pray together. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be the recipients of your grace. And we are so grateful for the many gifts that you've given to us, including your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us always to be grateful for that. Lord, teach us how to respond to gratefulness in our own hearts. We just think in the scriptures in Matthew 18 of the way that you taught us how to be grateful for the forgiveness that we have from you so that we can turn around and forgive other people. Lord, teach us how to incorporate gratefulness in our own hearts. And Lord, I ask that you would open windows into our children's hearts as we try to connect with them on a heart level. Do that, Lord, to foster relationship, but also enable us to find opportunities then to share the truths that you want us to pass on to our kids. We pray for soft hearts on the part of our children, Lord. We ask that you would open those up. In Jesus' name, amen.